missionary families back with us. They were here in our college, and they're missionaries to Togo, West Africa. And we're going to ask Brother Emmanuel Gangapo and Sister Bella and all the family to come on up. If they'll come on up, Brother Emmanuel, and I think maybe they're even going to sing a song for us tonight. Brother Manuel's going to give us a little bit of report. How many of you remember the family when they were with us? All right, hands all over the place. And they're going to take the next few minutes here, share with us. Tape room, I assume we got the mics on if they need them, and can just, Brother Cruz, you help them out there any kind of way that you want to. All right. This is some authentic dress here. All right. Brother Manuel, you come on. I'm going to give you the microphone here and let you kind of do what you will here. All right? If you need any help, holler, okay? I holler a lot, don't get much help, but I holler anyway. Amen.
Good evening. I am Emmanuel Gungampo from Togo, West Africa. And I am a graduate of Landmark Baptist College. I would like to say thank you. Thank you for all that you have done to help us in the ministry. And I was very glad to see some of my teachers, Dr. James Lewis, Dr. Pete, and of course, Dr. Carter. And I would like to tell you that Landmark Baptist Church, Landmark Baptist Ministries, had a great impact in our lives, great influence in our ministry also. And the Lord has been doing a lot. Pastor, we really respect you a lot. I've learned a lot from you. The Lord is doing some great things over there in Africa. Amen. And also, when I was in church, we learned some things. Like I was in Fishers of Men Outreach, Brother Hill. We have also Fishers of Men in Africa. And Foster's Club, we have that. And Brother Condon, you have been my partner, and I've learned a lot from you, and we are doing the same thing in Africa. So this ministry has been a blessing to us, and we'd like to let you know that we are very thankful for what you have done. And we went back to Africa 6 years ago, 6 years and 8 months, and we have been on the field with doing church planting, and we have seen more than 15,000 souls saved. And we started 7 churches, and we have a Bible Institute, and we are training men. We have about 35 people, men in our Bible Institute. And the Lord is just doing some great things. I'd like to be thankful for what he has done. And we'd like to recite a verse, John chapter 3, verse 16, in 4 languages. Our kids speak almost 4 languages. We have English, French, Ewe, which is my wife's dialect, and Moba, which is my dialect. And they will recite it in the 4 languages.
God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life.
Amen.
Jean 3 says, God did not tell me the one who had done his own his unique, a fake of a cocoa in the first place, make it a la vie eterna.
Johannes start on people we are then, and I've been a leg big bin, Maul on Hishami, Bena was trying to talk to me, and I've been a messy, I'm a sea, or it's in Allah, may get on trunk, okay, bon, who are quite my vampire.
Amen.
San Bonata and Pio Bunalio, Locantia Moni and Dubai and Duna Nepal Ponchin, Gintantio Bichayenmel, Gayamba, Jugopo, Kuanda Piaka, Kuanki Mogmelon, Bankan Bankipin.
Okay, that is John 3:16. We will sing a song in our dialects. But if you knew the song, you know the song, you sing with us. But you have to sing it in our dialect. And I would like my wife to give her testimony, and I'll give my testimony how we got saved, and that will open your eyes and will help you to see the importance of missions. I know you have been very involved in missions, but Lord will bless your heart through these testimonies.
First of all, I would like to give all the glory and honor to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's because of what he has done for me that I'm standing in front of you tonight to testify. I got saved through the wife of a Baptist missionary who came to live in the house just next to my house. That missionary couple came from America to Togo, West Africa, in early 80s. And they had a little girl, Laura. She became my friend. She used to come to my house most every day. One Saturday afternoon, she came to my house. I was not home because I went to the priest as a faithful Roman Catholic should do in order to be able to eat the communion the next morning at the Mass. When I came back home, that lady called me. She asked me where I was, and I told her, and she said, "Bella, would you like me to take the Bible and show you in the Bible what God said about how we should confess our sins?" I said yes, and she took her Bible and she showed me that actually we don't have to confess our sins to anybody, that nobody on this earth is able to forgive even one sin, but Jesus can forgive all our sins. And she asked me if I would like to have some Bible studies with her in order to understand my Bible. I said yes. I was a faithful Roman Catholic, but I was in a Presbyterian high school. And I had a Bible. But down there, they told us we cannot read the whole Bible. That is only the priest who can read the whole Bible. If we try to read the whole Bible, we will lose our mind. So I had the Bible, the Word of God, but I never tried to read it all. And I was having Bible studies with that lady, and after one Bible study, she asked me if I would like to pray and ask Jesus to come into my heart, which I did, but nothing happened. because as Roman Catholic, we used to pray all different kind of prayers. We used to pray to the Virgin, to the saints, to the angels. And I thought, well, that was another good prayer to have the favor of God, which I did, but nothing happened into my life. But I still remember like it was yesterday, July 20th, 1983. I was alone in my room that night, and something was telling me, Bella, you are going to die. And I was afraid of dying, because they told us if somebody die here, God will never send the person straight to heaven. God will send the person first into the purgatory, and then his friends or his relative, his parents will give the priest money, and they will be praying for him, and God will be moving him from here to here until maybe, and it's still maybe, he will end up in heaven. And I knew the life I was living, and I knew that I was not even going to make it to the purgatory. I knew that I was on my way straight to hell. But by the way, I want to tell you that there's no purgatory. The Bible talks about heaven or hell. You are with God or you are not with God. So there is no middle ground. And at that very moment, I remember what that lady told me about Jesus Christ dying for my sins and paying for all, and that the only thing I have to do is to accept him as my personal savior. And at that moment, I asked Jesus to come into my heart and to take me to heaven when I die. And I was surprised the next morning to find myself in this world again, but I knew deep in my soul that something happened. I don't know how to explain to you tonight, but if you are here, you are saved. I mean, you are born again. You know what I'm talking about. You don't need anybody to tell you that you are saved. You know yourself if you are saved. And then I wrote a letter back to that lady. She came back to the state and she wrote me back. She said, Bella, I knew that you were not saved, but I was still praying for you that someday God will save you. What God did. So if you are praying for your loved ones, don't give up. Keep on praying. You never know what God can do. God doesn't want anybody to go to hell. He wants everybody to go to heaven. And then my sister got saved. She's married to a Baptist preacher too. My brothers got saved. And now I'm no more afraid of dying. If something happened right now that I'm talking to you and I die, it's going to be just like an open door for me to see my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. My brothers and sisters, if you have been given to missions, you have been giving your money to missions, and you don't know what they are doing with your money, I'm the product of missions. I'm the result of missions. And I just want to tell you that when I could not come to where he was, Jesus Christ came to me.
As far as I'm concerned, I got saved in 1980. Through another Baptist missionary couple who went to Togo and lived just next to my house, the same way for my wife. And they lived next to my door. And that's how I got to know them, and they invited me to their church. I was born in a village in Africa. And where I was born, I had never seen a Bible. The only religious education I could get was idol worship, voodooism. That's how I was raised. And my parents told me that any attempt to change to any other religion, my life will be a disaster. So even when that missionary invited me to go to his church, I was afraid. I was afraid to change. But I went there, and then when I went there, I attended the church and I heard the gospel. That Christ died. That he is one who shed his blood and made a sacrifice. You know, in voodooism, they told us we do a lot of sacrifices, shed a lot of blood, the blood of animals. And we have to do it regularly. But I heard in church that Christ is one who died. He made a sacrifice once for all. And if I receive Christ as my Savior, all my sins will be forgiven. It was very new to me, but I was still afraid because of my background. And when the preacher gave the invitation to come, I was still afraid. I heard it, but I couldn't come. I went back home. And I said to myself, I would want to forget about it. I tried to forget, but I couldn't. I tried to get rid of it, but I couldn't. That message was still in my mind, that Christ is the one who died, shed his blood, made sacrifice for me. And finally, I gave up, realizing that I was a sinner, that Christ is the one who died on the cross for me. And I received him as my Savior. And that very day, I knew that I was saved. Though I didn't know much about the Bible, I knew I was saved. I knew that if I die, I will go to heaven. And that day, I decided that I will never worship voodoo anymore. I will never worship idols anymore. And I was the first person in the whole village I was born to be saved. The first person. And as a teenager, could you imagine what I had to go through? I don't have time to tell you what I had to go through. I went through a lot of persecutions. Yes. And I was even sacked from home and rejected. And they thought I was getting crazy. And my parents, all my relatives, even it came to a time that nobody loved me. When I say hi, nobody says hi. But I went to church. I attended church. I walked about 10 miles to go to church. And I was there Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Amen. And you know what happened? Finally, my parents cursed me. They told me I was going to die. And I told them that whatever may happen, I found the truth. I found the truth. I found the life. Amen. Jesus is the way. He's the truth. He's the life. Amen. And I will never go back again. Right. They tried by all means. When they cursed me, realized it, expecting that I was going to die. But after 5 years, after 10 years, after 15 years, 20 years, I was still alive. Even 30 years now, I'm still alive. Amen. And that's how some of them started realizing that, hey, I think he had the right thing. And now, all my parents got saved. Amen. My brothers got saved. My sisters got saved. Some of my uncles got saved. Some of my cousins got saved. And now we started a church in my home village. Amen. A Baptist church in my home village. And I would like to tell you that missions is a reality. If that missionary couple had not gone to Africa and shared the word of God with me, think about that. Where will I be? Without God, without Christ, I will be lost. Yes. And now the Lord is using us. That is the reason why we have given ourselves to reach our people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And many, many hundreds of people are now coming to Christ through us. Brothers and sisters, actually, just what my wife just said, when I could not come to where he was, Jesus came to me. Amen. And I would like to thank you so much for all of you who have been given to missions, have been given. The Lord is going to reward you. And you will see people like us in heaven because you have given. God bless you.
Thank you, Brother Emmanuel. Boy, that's tremendous, isn't it? Amen. Just tremendous. We look over on our mission gauge and realize we're running behind for the time, lateness of the time. But it's so easy to get to just saying missions without thinking. Missions has a face to it. It's people. It's one here and one there and a family here and a family there. It's very real. And Brother Manuel's family tonight just sharing a little bit. They're with us. They're staying up in DeLand, which is a pretty good drive from here. We gave them a little check tonight before the service to kind of help out with gas and stuff. But if any of you feel led of the Lord to go to them and give them a little helping hand, they're going to be here a little while longer before they go back to West Africa. And just think what God does. Started out with one man walking 10 miles to church, taking the persecution of his family, brethren, friends. But look what God's done since then. I didn't remember. It'd been 6 years since you were here in college. My. But look what, did you hear the report that he gave there about the churches and the souls that's been saved? The fields are white unto harvest, as the Bible says, and the laborers are few. We have to recognize that God is still in the soul-saving business. Amen? We're going to do a little spot here in just a moment. Brother E.J. Scopp, I shared the testimony with you that he sent to us about the working the soul winning booth at the fair. And these girls getting saved and then getting killed in a wreck. What you're going to see on here is the news report taken off the TV news. And we need to turn out some lights. Possibly to make it a little bit clear. It's only short, very short, so stay right with your light switches, some of you. I don't think we have to darken everything, but just darken up here behind me a little bit. And Brother Scott brought this to us to show it. And these girls saved at his soul winning booth at the fair. And so I think you'll get the message here.
Tonight, three families coping with the horrible tragedy. A deadly wreck Saturday afternoon near the Chickasha Airport. A teenager driver and her two cousins are killed. The driver in the second car also killed. His passenger now in critical condition. But two mothers tonight are surprisingly finding comfort in the middle of all this grief. They were all so young, so innocent, so alive.
Don't seem real. I mean, I just can't believe it.
Killed in this horrible wreck, 17-year-old Heather Doughty, the teen driver. Her 15-year-old cousin, Sarah, a young mom who leaves behind a baby boy. And Kaylin Pena, the youngest, a cheerleader who had just turned 14 in August.
She was sweet. She had a lot of friends. She's the one that kept us together.
Investigators say Heather somehow veered into another lane on US 81 and crashed head-on into a Jeep Cherokee. Their parents say the three girls were always together, including a recent trip to the state fair, a moment that is now giving these grieving moms a sense of understanding.
When they all three got saved, a woman had came and taken them into a tent, and they were all three saved on the night before.
Heather sent a text telling a friend, a small comfort to help loved ones cope with terrible pain. Friends of the Pena family have set up a memorial fund. You can go to the Focus Credit Union in Chickasha to donate. It will help the family with costs associated with Kaylin's funeral and burial.
Did you see the girl text a message on her phone that she'd gotten saved? And within a short time after that, the wreck occurred. And the family had the comfort of knowing the daughter had been saved. Just say a word about that. A lot of times as soul winners, we do lead somebody through the plan of salvation and the salvation prayer. And we oftentimes later on may not have any evidence that it really took, that it was really real. You heard testimony of Sister Bella a while ago. She prayed one time, but she didn't mean it. It was like a Catholic prayer. But then later she got saved and she knew it. And yet here's a case that you just saw on the news there on the little film strip, where a girl just walking through the fair, and a soul winner took her through the plan of salvation, and she got saved and strong enough to be texting loved ones before she got to them. That ought to encourage us to not quit trying. That ought to encourage us that we share. And the Bible says that one plants, another waters, and God gives the increase. Amen. So the increase is with Him, isn't it? But it's our job to plant. Maybe somebody else waters, whatever. While we can't see all the ends working together, God can. And it ought to encourage us to be soul winners. We ought to look at one verse tonight, just 5 minutes here. Romans 1:16, I hope you can quote it. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I wonder sometimes as believers if that's true in our case. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Now, think about it. The gospel is the power of God that unto salvation, that brings salvation. Do you understand that when you do give the gospel, you are tapping in to the power of God? God is the one that supplies the power, not you, but we can supply the word. And it is the power of God. And that's the reason we ought to give out the plan of salvation. Those salvation booths, soul winning booths at fairs, I've worked one of them before myself. And I know everybody that prayed the sinner's prayer didn't get saved, but how many did? Only heaven will reveal. Now here we have a case where it's revealed down here. And that's wonderful. But I'm sure we're going to also have some pleasant surprises when we get to heaven about how many. You heard Brother Emmanuel said he got saved, he didn't know anything about the Bible. But he does now. He grew in it. He's using it. How many others been saved because he got saved? But thank God for the missionary that went over, and both Bella and Emmanuel saved because of two different missionaries that went. And it's very real. Now, we need to see that we can't do what the Holy Spirit is doing. Sister Bella was talking about, she knew something happened. She knew she got saved. And in John chapter 3, Jesus was talking to Nicodemus over there. And he told him that you must be born again. Marvel not that I say unto you that you must be born again. He went on to tell him, you can't see the wind, but it's acting anyway. Remember, the wind listeth where it will, and you can hear it, but you can't see it. And the Holy Spirit is compared to the wind there. And the Holy Spirit works, and works deep, works inside, and produces the new birth. And I don't know, I mean, all of us, you know, I've led some folks to the Lord, and I've seen them cry, I've heard some shout, and I like that. But that don't mean necessarily they got saved. It had to happen deep in here. I've led some others to the Lord where I would have just walked away and told you, he listened to me, he was polite, but it wasn't real. I've had a few times where the Lord rebuked me over that. He didn't set me up as the judge. He set me up as a sower to sow the seed. And the Bible says the seed falls on several different kinds of ground. And my job is to sow it, let it fall where it will. And some of it's going to take root, some of it's going to be very real. I think of that sometime. I still remember Sunday afternoon, just as a young preacher. In fact, at that time, well, I guess maybe we had, no, we had not moved up on the field. I still was finishing up Bible school. So Sonia and I were driving about 65 miles to be in the little church that we'd taken up in the country. And so we were driving up there and back, Sundays and Wednesday night. And I remember Sunday afternoon, I think it was a time that she'd had just a little stay in the hospital and I was by myself that Sunday. But I remember Sunday afternoon after church, I went to one of the members' house and ate lunch. They said, "Now there's a bedroom back there, you can take a nap." I said, "No, I'd rather not do that. I'll go out in the neighborhood and see if I can get somebody to come to church." The little church didn't know much about soul winning. But I did. I knocked on several doors that afternoon and finally knocked on the door and nobody come. But I heard some sounds in the backyard. So I walked around the backyard and there was a few kids, smaller kids playing. And there was a man standing there watching the kids. Apparently the wife was gone. He was watching the kids play in the backyard. He was a very stoic looking fella. I spoke to him and he kind of mumbled back, kind of quietly. Spoke back, and I don't know if I said something about the weather or what, but I didn't get much response. So I just got to the point. I said, "I'm the preacher in Gatlake Baptist Church, and I'm out trying to get folks to come to church, and I'd like to ask you a question. If you died today, would you go to heaven?" And just got right to it. He said, "No, don't know." And so I said, "Would you mind if I showed you how you could know?" Just kind of nonchalant. I pulled my New Testament out and went down the Romans Road. He agreed, "Yeah, I'm a sinner. Everybody's a sinner. You know the plan of salvation, I hope. And the wages of sin is death." And I went right on through. Right on down to the gospel of receiving Christ. And read him Romans 10:9, "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." And I went right through it with him. I still it was just polite but quiet. But he did bow his head with me. And I did lead him through the sinner's prayer. And I excused myself and left. Well, I went about two blocks around to one of my deacon's house to have coffee before church. And I went there and told him, I said, "You know Tom, two blocks over there?" "Yeah." I said, "Well, he just bowed his head and prayed the sinner's prayer with me." He said, "Oh, that don't mean nothing." He said, "I know Tom." He said, you don't see Tom." And I thought about it as he poured cold water on a young preacher's soul winning effort. I thought, "Lord, I still done right by showing him. I still done right by giving out your word." And went on to church that night and home that week and next Sunday morning back to church. And Sunday school hour passed and I got up to preach and I saw the door open and I saw a man step in with a suit on, well-dressed and well-groomed, and I didn't know who it was. From the pulpit, I really didn't. He sat down in the back row when I gave the invitation, "Here he come." It was Tom. Tom did get saved. My deacon couldn't judge that. And I couldn't judge it. Something happened deep in there that I couldn't see. Holy Spirit worked. He got born again. And he was a faithful member right on up till I left the church. He's dead now. But I see him in heaven. I want to tell you, folks, let's don't get too far from the basics. Giving out the gospel, telling others about Jesus. You saw the picture tonight. What God's done in that family's life and he is doing. And he wants to do that with all of us. Every one of us, in a sense, if we're saved, we're supposed to be a missionary. Casting out the seed. It is the power of God. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And we just got to get it out. I know America's tough and hard, and I know the culture's changed, but I also know that a lot of Christians have gotten to where they don't think it's worthwhile to witness anymore. And that's our fault, because the gospel has not changed. And God's desire to see people saved has not changed. And we just need to keep on keeping on to have results like we're hearing here tonight. We have to get the word out. We have to share it. And when we do, the Holy Spirit of God can do what we can't do and what we can't see done. Be careful. You win somebody to the Lord and say, well, they just prayed to get rid of me. They may have. But then suppose not. I tell you what, don't criticize those that try and those that share the gospel. Our missionaries and others, and we're to be missionaries here.